Tonight, I would like to continue what we started last week as far as introduction, and just want to say how much I enjoy being together like this. If you don't know me by now, let me just tell you how much I like personal relationships and intimacy, and so on Sunday nights, sometimes the big auditorium feels like a cave to me, and everybody feels so far away. So I love this kind of a setting. I actually enjoy it very much, and so it's good to be here. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. As far as just a moment of review, we are going to work through the attributes of God, because a high view of God leads to greater worship. Exalted views of God can help us exalt our God better. High views of God also lead to holy living. So as we understand how wonderful our God is and how great He is, then it inspires us and encourages us to live according to His desires. So we are going to walk through some things that will help us understand how God has revealed Himself. And by way of just review, as far as His attributes are concerned, I want us to make sure we understand that all of God's attributes are present in all three persons of the Godhead. So God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. And so all of the attributes are represented in all three persons. As well, all the attributes are eternally in God. So He has always been this way, and will always be this way. So that's important to remember. And then as well, all the attributes are inseparably connected. You cannot pull them apart. They all work together perfectly. And so He is holy all the time, and He's perfectly love all the time, and those work in connection always. So as we kind of jump in tonight, I want to start with the self-existence of God. Getting a little feedback here, so I'm going to turn that. The self-existence of God, or His aseity. And this is known sometimes as like maybe the lead attribute or the first attribute, although, again, they're all the same. But we want to make sure we understand from the very beginning that God is self-existent. Okay, comes from the Latin word, aseity, comes from the Latin root meaning from or self. Okay, so when we think about God, He is self-existent. I picked the songs tonight that would represent God being the creator and the sustainer, because we need to understand, it's very important, unlike us, God has neither beginning nor end. He is not dependent on anyone or anything. He is self-existent. The meaning, the source or ground of God's existence is wholly in Himself. The ground of His existence is wholly in Himself. As well, we can put it this way. There we go. God is totally uncaused and is independent of all things external to Himself. God is totally uncaused and is independent of all things external to Himself. So we're getting a little bit of a theology lesson on Sunday nights here. And again, we want to think bigger about our God. High views of God will help us in our living, holy living, and then exalted worship. Now, we have some scripture that really helps us understand how God revealed this to us, that this is who He is. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And He said, "Thus shall you say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you." So, God revealed Himself as the self-existent God, the God who is totally independent of everything outside of Himself. He is uncreated, and He is uncaused. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God." So we come to the table with the presupposition that God is self-existent. He was here before it all. He is the source and cause of his own existence. John chapter 5 and verse 26, "For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself." So these scriptures teach us that God is self-existent, that he is completely independent of everything outside of himself. So that's one attribute of God. And a lot of times we probably, in our prayer life and in other ways that we do Bible study and things like that, we probably have thoughts about who God is. Perhaps his self-existence isn't one that comes to mind on a regular basis, but it should, because that helps us understand the creator-creature distinction, that we are caused, right? We are created. We are totally dependent upon something outside of ourselves, where God is very different than us in this way. He is self-existent, and he is uncreated or uncaused. So that helps us understand the distinction. Now, a second attribute that goes along with this is God is free. Okay, so another one would be that God is completely free. What is the meaning of this? God is wholly self-determined. So he doesn't make decisions based on what we do. All right? He doesn't, look at life and what's going to happen tomorrow and then act because of certain things that are happening around. No, he is completely free to act as he desires and to accomplish his purposes on his own. He is self-determined. He is not bound by anything outside of himself. So I'll get to the application in just a few minutes, but this is really important for us to understand. Because God says to trust him. How can we trust a God who is dependent on someone else, another circumstance? We can't. We can trust a God because he is different than us. He is self-existent. He's uncaused or uncreated, but he's totally free to act according to all of his other attributes, but act as he wants and desires. And so we can trust him. But he is free. He is not dependent on anything. He is not contained by anything. He is not upheld by anything. God's freedom really goes against fatalism, pantheism. It really goes against all kinds of other perspectives of who God is. Let's look at some scripture that kind of teaches us about this. I already mentioned this. God is not bound by anything outside of himself. As far as his everyday activity, he is completely free. Scripture tells us in Job 23 and verse 13, "But he is unique, and who can turn him? And what his soul desires, that he does." So God has revealed in his word about himself, whatever his soul desires, he does. And that's the case. He is different from us in this way. Whatever our soul desires, we don't necessarily get to determine that. We can talk to him about it. We can ask. We can hope. But God is different in the fact that whatever he desires, that's what he does. Okay? There is a distinction between us. Daniel 4:35, "All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the hosts of the heavens and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can ward off his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'" No one, no one, no one, no one can speak to God. I mean, people try and they say all the time, but it won't have any effect. No one can ward off his hand and say that he made the wrong decision or he shouldn't have done such and such. He is completely free to act as he desires. "For I know that the Lord is great, and the Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord Our God, whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all the deeps. So our God is different than us in the fact that whatever he desires and whatever he wants, whatever pleases him, that's what he is able to do. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. That's a promise. God is completely free to act and move and work according to his good pleasure. So it is important for us to understand that God did not create us because he was lonely. Okay? He's self-existent and he's completely free. He did create us. And there's the fellowship that Adam and Eve had, and it was wonderful with him. But we have to be very, very careful that he is not dependent upon us. He actually doesn't need us at all. And we can apply that in many different areas of our life. God is completely free to act. He is in need of nothing. He is completely whole in and of himself. He is self-existent and God is free. He is the source of everything. He has all of life in himself. And again, just by way of application, this knowledge of God should encourage us to trust him more. And really, really trust him wholeheartedly. Knowing that he is different than us. And he will accomplish all of the things that his heart desires. And we know that those are good because that works in perfect connection with his goodness. Because the attributes cannot be separated. So we can trust him. He does not need us. He is not dependent on us. He is completely free. This knowledge of God actually also should produce humility in our lives. The bigger our view of God gets, the smaller our view of ourselves should get. Because sometimes we start to think that we're really, really great. And we have all of this to offer God. When actually, our thought process should be, say, God, use me however you can. And it really is a difference of how you view God. Because if you think God is small, then you think that he needs you. But if you understand who he actually is, he's actually so big that he can accomplish whatever he wants, whenever he wants. Then it produces a heart of humility in us that says, God, it's about you. Use my life however you please. So it should cause us to trust more, and then it should cause us to be more humble. And then it then works out, should give us a right perspective of ministry. It should help us understand that God really needs nothing from me. Now you have to understand that he wants us to give of ourselves as a daily sacrifice, right? A living sacrifice. That's the heart that we present to him. But it's in the right perspective. Because sometimes as we view our life in service and ministry, we can be full of pride. Like, wow, we do so much for God. We are so amazing. In reality, it should produce in us, man, if he can use anything with my worthless life, that would be amazing. So our view of God really determines so much about how we practically live every day. And God is free and he is self-existent. Now, I think a high view of God helps us exalt Him. A high view of God encourages us to live for Him. So can you trust Him? Yes. Should it cause us to be humble? Yes. Should we serve Him all of our days? Yes. God, tonight there are some here who are struggling with the treadmill of life and the hardships and trials. Would you remind them of who you are? There are those who are rebelling against your will, wanting to do life their own way. Would you remind them who you are? There are those who are tired and hurting physically. Would you remind them who you are? You are the Creator. We are the creation. We are small, and you are big. And so we can trust you, God. We can trust you with all of our days. And we can go low because it's right and appropriate. Help us to be humble. And help us to believe that there is something greater waiting for us than just the here and now. And so we can really set our affections on things that are above. Because you have promised that we will forever spend eternity with you. And so the things that we see, it's not all that there is. We have hope that someday we are going to enjoy you and worship you in all of your glory forever and ever. God, thank you that you are self-existent. Thank you that you are free. Help us this week to live with a high view of you. In your name we pray. Amen.